Look, I get it. I get it. This is the standard that the Ravens have set, so when things aren't perfect, you're kind of taken aback by it, surprised. Like, what the hell's going on here? We expected everything to be absolutely unimpeachable as the season would go on. Well, as it turns out, the Ravens were convincing winners on the road today against one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And when we talked at halftime, and, you know, I didn't sense that there was panic or people were flipping out or anything like that. It was just sort of like a, this feels weird. And it did. It felt weird. It for some odd reason. But that's just the standard. That's we're measuring it based on this absurd standard that the Ravens have created, that literally, if they don't play perfect football, we're like, whoa, what is going on here? All right, Project Game Day postgame show. Glenn Clark, Ken Zales. Ravens will improve to 2-0. Now we await to find out whether or not the Chiefs join them at 2-0 as some late drama out in Southern California. The Chiefs actually trail the Chargers 20-17 late, so we will see how that plays out, and if indeed, as expected, this is a matchup of unbeatens next Monday night. KZ, I think there's a few things, right? Like, the first thing you would say is, obviously, the offensive line is concerning. It is not the perfect unit that it was a year ago with Marshall Yanda. I don't know that it's Tyree Phillips has to get benched after this week. I don't know that there aren't other problems if we go back. Look, you know, the one sack, there was a guy that Orlando Brown just sort of, I mean, I don't even know how to describe what happened there. Like, missed. He just sort of missed him. That's going to be a concern. Having Anthony Averett on the field is going to be a concern. But other than that, it was the Ravens, and they ultimately look like the Ravens a little bit more in the second half and in pulling away in this one.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the offensive line was manhandled in the first half. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They were pushed back. I haven't seen really Lamar under this type of pressure ever. And some of his escapability was the only reason that he wasn't sacked more and they weren't in worse situations. Phillips did not have a good game. Look, Stanley was playing on a bad ankle. Orlando Brown had some issues. This is a good front four. I don't want to pretend like they're playing against nobody, but it needs to get better.
I'm not there yet where I'm saying it better not be Tyree Phillips again.
He's
a rookie. I guess there's a couple things. One, I don't know that you have another great option to begin with.
No.
He's a rookie that didn't have any preseason experience,
correct,
that is still sort
they're
of finding
tackle in
correct
college.
And was going up against a really good front four today.
Yes.
I think you can ride it out a little bit longer with Tyree Phillips and wait to see if it becomes a complete disaster before you have to make a move like that.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. I mean, look, you did the would you rather thing on Wednesday, and, you know, would you rather, you know, lose to the barely beat the Texans and lose to KC. The KC game is going to be a difficult one. They have a good front four as well. Chris Jones will.
Although that did not show up much today.
It did not. Yeah. Although they've only given up 20 points.
I hear you, but they weren't getting sacks.
They also weren't prepared for. I can't believe I'm saying this. They weren't prepared for Justin Herbert or Herbert.
It's Herbert.
Herbert.
Yeah.
We'll throw him to New Orleans.
Yeah, Bobby Aber. Right. I get it.
You know, Herbert, who started out of nowhere. I mean, first ever chest X-ray during pregame warmups. So I'm gonna give them a little bit of a hey, we prepared for this guy. It's gonna run all over the place today, and we didn't get that. But Chris Jones is really, really good, and he's gonna watch tape, and he's gonna line up. Guess where? Right over
about
Mr.
Where,
Phillips.
Yeah, right about where J.J. Watt was lining up today.
So,
correct.
So it needs to get fixed, but it's not a panic, and even, you know, even if he does not play well next week, I still don't think it's panic mode, because it's not really the deepest part of your team. They went through whatever preseason they had, and they determined this is our best option. Well, you don't give up on that option when you're 2-0, and you certainly don't give up on it after three games. They'll have time to work that out. But they need to get better. They were pushed back a little bit today. I thought the game plan was a little weird in the first half.
It's tough for me to figure out if this was strategic in not running the ball as much in the first half, or if it was, hey, we're concerned about, you know, the offensive line. So
it may have been. It just seemed like early on, like, okay, so we're not even going to try to run the ball
today.
It was
a little odd. I mean, it was definitely a little odd. And obviously, everybody's going to talk about the lack of touches for J.K. Dobbins. And yes, after he was so involved last week, it seems odd. Now, is this a case of, hey, we saw what Gus Edwards did a year ago against the Texans. We think today is a good day for it to be a Gus day. This is one of the issues that you have in Baltimore, is that, like, every day seems like a good day to be a Gus day.
Right,
like,
right. He plays well.
And this is the problem with, like, from a fantasy perspective, everybody wants to. And I'm very high on J.K. Dobbins and what he could do for this team and the player that he can be. But Gus Edwards has been nothing but a really good runner ever since he first saw a field with the Baltimore Ravens. So to complain about Gus Edwards getting more touches is a weird complaint, because what does he do every time he touches the ball? He runs hard and he holds on to it.
It's a weird complaint because they're winning and he's successful.
Right.
You know, Dobbins, if you remember, and I said this to a couple of people. Now, at this point, you're just happy Dobbins is healthy after today, because nobody else in the fantasy world is. But he was not the starter last week. It was a little game script. It was a little game situation that he probably got as much as he did, especially the second touchdown. First touchdown was probably just it was his turn to have those three touches. But he played a lot, and it is going to be limited. Now, I did never expect it to be this limited. We didn't see a whole bunch of Gus last week. We saw more today. But, again, tougher runner against a tougher defense.
I think
defense.
This is the one thing that we didn't want to – and, again, we're having two different conversations, right? Because what we're really having is a fantasy football conversation versus a football conversation. Because where they bleed in is, I think the Ravens don't want – they don't want Kansas City to know what to expect next week.
They don't.
They have three good running backs, and they feel like they can use all three. And if Kansas City, after 2 weeks – sees them doing nothing but J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, well, then they'd be expecting that. I don't know what they want to do next week against Kansas City, but I don't have any football issue with the Ravens mixing it up between their three running backs, because there's an argument for all three of them. They're all good at what they do. No one is failing when they touch the football. The offensive line has failed a little bit in front of them in order to clear some holes, but no one has been problematic in what they've done with the ball in their hands. I have no issue with the fact that the Ravens are going from one guy to the next guy to the next guy when it comes to the running back position whatsoever.
No, and they've put a lot of things on tape in 2 weeks for Kansas City to be concerned about. They really
100%.
Have. They have. I would honestly, after their 2 weeks and after they came out today the way they came out, I have no idea what they're going to call in the first quarter
week. I really don't.
And I have no idea. And I think that's
part
of the plan.
You know what the crazy part is? It might be part of the entire story of these 2 weeks. And I know that it's nuts to say that, because this is the NFL, and like, you need to prepare for these two teams and do everything you can to beat these two teams. But maybe part of what we're seeing is – look, we all know this is the statement game for this franchise, right? Like, and the only one that you're likely to play this season, like, until you get to the playoffs, we're making that assumption. But, like, during the course of the regular season, this is the one game coming up that stands to matter. As long as nothing, as we said before, as long as nothing goes to hell between now and the end of the year, and at which point you don't want more games mattering as the season goes on.
Funny little thing, while they were running out the clock, Dobbins broke off a 43-yard run.
So his numbers
are
going to
end up
looking pretty decent when this is all said and done.
Kansas City
is looking to score. By the way, the Ravens game is final, of course, now. So we can move on. 33-16, they beat the Houston Texans. They improved to 2-0. The Project Game Day post-game show is brought to you by the U.S. Army, Glenn Clark, Ken Zales. I'm going to get to some comments here in 1 second.
The other thing, I mean, and we talked about this, you know, sort of in the fantasy world, but more reality is, you know, you got to feel bad for Tavon Young, who, you know, he's injury prone. There's no other way.
You hate to harp on that.
I know.
And the nicest way I can say it is, I don't go into it, like, when everybody was talking about the secondary in the preseason and saying, and you get Tavon Young back, my response was, Yeah, I'm not banking on that. Yeah. I'm just not. I can't. I have too much evidence for me to feel as though that. Now, look, I hope for the best. I hope that after the game, John Harbaugh goes to the podium and says, Tavon's going to be all right.
We were just careful.
Right. Hope that that's the way it plays out. But we're just too far into this for me to continue to work with the assumption of anything other than that when it comes to Tavon Young. And that's a bummer. And it was certainly a bummer because it seemed very clear that the Texans were going to the line looking and saying, hey, is Averett on the field? Throw at him in the course of the second half. And, I don't blame them for that by any stretch of the imagination. I don't blame them at all for targeting when your other options are throw the ball in the direction of Marcus Peters, throw the ball in the direction of Marlon Humphrey. I mean, I hated the fact that I started Will Fuller in one of my fantasy leagues this week.
I know,
He didn't do anything, but I get it. I get what they're looking and they're seeing their options and they're saying, look, throw at that guy.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's that like Anthony Averett was terrible today. I just think he's clearly the worst option.
When every ball's going in your direction.
Right. But part of it is the respect. If Anthony Averett was on the field with, insert what other names you want to insert, Maurice Kennedy and, Jordan Richards, I'm pretty sure that some more balls would not be going. But when you look on the field and you're eyeing up what the options are, right, that guy's being covered by Humphrey, that guy's being covered by Peters, this guy's being covered by Anthony Averett, we're throwing the ball in that direction every time.
Yeah,
and he's just not that player. Serviceable. I used to always everybody would pick on Frank Walker for years and I always be like, it's a little unfair that Frank Walker's in this spot. Like, he's just not that guy. It's unfair that Frank Walker has to cover a quality NFL wide receiver downfield. He's not that guy. Anthony Averett's not really that guy. That it's certainly something if Tavon Young is going to be out for an extended period of time, especially when you're facing an offense like the Chiefs where their third and fourth options are pretty freaking good, right? Like, their top two options are two of the best players in the world. Then they've got Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman and, DeMarcus Robinson to throw at you after that. And they're going to spread it out. You're going to need to have another, defensive back on the field. Should in those situations you be sliding Jimmy Smith back outside? I would say probably.
That's
probably what you should be doing moving forward if you're going to be without Tavon Young. All right, some responses so far from our buddy Josh Shiroka. Good win, but we have all been looking ahead to week 3 and nothing really gave me any more confidence in this team today. It will be tough next week.
It's going to be tough next week, even if you had confidence.
I guess that's the point. Like, what could they have done today that would make you feel...
They went on the road to win by 17 points against a division champion from last year.
And, yes, I think nobody really thinks they're going to be... First of all, they weren't the best team in the AFC South a year ago. It turns out to be the Titans. They just waited too long in order to make a quarterback switch.
It is what it is.
Your statement's not inaccurate. I
get it.
They did it against what we know. We know that guy's a really good quarterback. I got a lot of questions about that roster outside of him.
But we know that guy's unbelievable. The head coach /GM is hurting that organization.
Right.
But Watson's amazing.
Yes, correct.
You want to complain. I heard somebody complaining about the pass rush today. I said,
It's really hard to get that dude on the ground.
Well, it wasn't a pass rush. It was the actual sacking of the quarterback.
Correct. Because they got pressure.
Because you are going against one of four guys that are just Houdini of getting out stuff. He's that good. And that's why he just got a really big contract, because they know he's 100%. That good. The pressure was there all day. He was running for his life all day.
And as I pointed out at halftime, for example, they didn't get the jihad ward play in the first half. They didn't get the sack, but that took a 3rd-and-1 and made it a 4th-and-1.
Correct.
Which ultimately ended up being a huge momentum situation in the football game.
So it's it's like you said, it's like we're finding things to be unhappy about.
And this is a weird,
strange.
I really struggle to articulate this, Ken. I wish I was smarter. It's never going to happen, right? What I'm articulating is it's a little unfair that this is what we're judging by, right? Like 5 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine complaining about going on the road to Houston and winning by 17 points? But the Ravens have put themselves there.
They have.
The reality is we can't go back and judge in a different way, because we're not talking about a team that we're worried about whether or not they're going to get to 9 or 10 wins. We're not talking about a team that we're worried about like the fifth tiebreaker in terms of winning the division. We're talking about a team that there is one way that we're judging them, and that's whether or not they win the Super Bowl. And everything that we see, we're going to judge based in the terms of, do we think they're going to win the Super Bowl? To what Josh said, I don't think there's anything they were going to do today that was going to make me feel differently about next week. Next week was always going to be next week, no matter what happened.
They could have won 50-0 today.
Correct.
So
and,
what?
And if they lose the Chiefs next week, we're going to say the same thing around town. Are we confident they can beat the Chiefs when it matters in January, right? The only thing next week really does is finally gives us like the, we know they're capable. If they win that game next Monday, we know they're capable of beating the Chiefs. If that's what it comes down to in the postseason, we kind of all expect it to come down to that in the postseason.
And not that it matters, but you would like that game at home as well.
It would go a long way.
We don't know if there'll be fans at that point, but going to Kansas City
and yes,
in January with maybe fans.
Someone will point out they've lost two home playoff games.
I understand. Yeah, I get that. But I'd still rather play Kansas City at home in January than going to Kansas City. I get the whole they've lost games at home. They were favored last year. I get all that. I was on that bandwagon. I get it. Just like everybody's telling me, you know, when they talk about Harbaugh's record, I was like, he's 0-2 in his last two playoff games. I mean, it's the only thing that really matters right now, and they were, you know, and they didn't play well. So, you know, we're going to do this throughout the year, like you said, and you set the tone perfectly last week.
This is the only game. This is it.
There's one game on the schedule, and they're going to lose games.
Again, correct. There's going to be a game.
There's always a game.
Undoubtedly.
There's always. We can go back to the Washington game, the Oakland game. There are always games. The Cleveland game last year. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, how do you explain
it?
Sure.
You know, there are always going to be games, but that's what happens in the NFL. I mean, anybody that thought Kansas City was going to go into overtime facing the Chargers today?
No. Nuts. There's nobody on the planet who thought they weren't going to cover the 9 points. Right.
I mean, it's just unreal, especially against a rookie quarterback, as it turned out now. I mean, when I heard that this morning, I'm like,
By a million, right.
Chiefs are going to kill them.
Right.
You know, and he's actually...
They're going to get the ball back now.
They're going to get the ball back.
Score and win scenario.
But they're, you know, he's actually played pretty well. He struggled a little bit early, but you know, he's played pretty well and showed some toughness. But you just don't know. I mean, the Kansas City, as you did on Project Game Day, and I kind of, you know, as people were kind of complaining, I was like, by the way, Kansas City's losing 14-6.
Yeah,
their show is worse than ours.
We're complaining about being up by 10 on the road. And again, I get it. In the first half, the Ravens weren't dominant on the ground.
They weren't.
They were their only touchdown drive had been 34 yards, right? Like, there were things that you look at and say, this doesn't feel like your typical up by 10 on the road against a really good team. And credit the Ravens defense. The Ravens defense was so good in the first half that despite the fact that things were imperfect, it was never like the game was in doubt in any way.
Never.
And that's why it is that we have such confidence about this football team, is because it's not one side of the ball. To be fair, between the two rosters, the Ravens roster is drastically better than the Chiefs roster.
It is.
It's just that the Chiefs quarterback is so effing unbelievable that it makes up for some of that difference. Now, it happens to be the second best quarterback is the one in Baltimore.
Right.
But, like, the Chiefs quarterback is insane. So it's this weird bit where, like, the roster is so good that even on a day where the offense wasn't the juggernaut that maybe we're expecting it to be early on, the defense was like, all right, cool, we'll go win it if you want us to.
Imagine if we were doing this show for the Falcons today.
Oh, well, I mean.
But
we've done plenty of these shows over the years.
I know. It's just funny. It's just the world that we're in now is just a funny world.
Some more comments to get to. Heather just wants to say great game.
Fantastic.
Sure.
17-point win, I'll take it every time.
100%. And a largely complete win. Like, largely. You know, the run game got it going. There's nothing from this game that you look at and you say, again, outside of that right side of the offensive line. Like, the only thing from this game that you could say wasn't great was that side of the offensive line. From Scott, the Ravens scoring over 30 points almost every game is a thing now, I guess. Not used to be that, but I like it. Yeah, I mean.
Love it. Love exciting, fun football.
Again, they scored 33 points today, and we're sort of like,
we're like, eh. You know what it was? You know what it was? I mean, the defense scored six of it. So
correct.
They kicked a lot of field goals today, which we're used to in Baltimore, but last year we didn't do as much. And Lamar was human today.
Yeah,
he
had
a really good game.
He was
but
good.
He didn't run. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't have three touchdown passes. He didn't run a score in. He was good. You know,
what you're saying, he didn't look superhuman.
Right,
today.
He wasn't superhuman.
He didn't look impossible to
beat. He got sacked three times today. You know, it was just – but I look at some of these, and they even commented on the broadcast. They're like, he just took a sack into a one-yard loss. It could have been a seven-yard loss. And those are huge plays that don't really – at the end of the game, if you're looking at box scores, you really don't see that. But if you watch the game, it's like, absolutely. I mean, the things he does in the pocket to help out just – gain 6 yards. Oh, well, they lost one on the play. Well, yeah, but it could have been so much worse.
100%. 100%. From Paul, that was a workmanlike professional win. Do 100%. Your work, run the clock out in the second half, get out with a win. Again, this is hilarious. These are the terms
I know.
That we would use to describe like a 3-point win against the Browns at home.
I know. 17-point win on the road.
In 2014. I guess that was a good year for the Ravens. So if in 2015, if the Ravens beat the Browns like 24-21 at home, we would come back on here and say, that was a workmanlike, grind it out, not everything's always going to be pretty type of win. That's what they're saying, for example, in Pittsburgh.
They are.
Right? In Pittsburgh today.
Actually, Pittsburgh, they're kind of upset.
Well, they're nuts. I mean, like, but the reasonable folks are like, this is the way the NFL works. Sometimes you just have to grind it out. You don't play brilliant football. It's ugly, but you get the job done ultimately when it matters most. That's what they would say in Pittsburgh about today.
Yeah.
We're saying that.
I know.
About a 17-point road win against Deshaun Watson.
That you never felt was in doubt from the point that they failed to get that 4th-and-1 in their territory. I was like, why do teams keep doing this against the Ravens? Because the Cleveland did it the week before.
Yeah, they tried the fake punt.
Tried the fake punt. I was like, you do understand this is a really good offensive team, and the Ravens on cue went down. It's 10-0, and it's a completely different game. You know, kick the ball away. You know, you're
Ken, for me, it was if you get two chances with the ball without the Ravens having gotten on the board, and you don't do anything with it, forget it.
Yeah,
forget it. Like that's not the football game that you're in for. You're fortunate that you got a second try with the ball, right? Like, if you want to beat the Ravens, you better be prepared to get the ball and go score.
Yeah.
And start, like, allowing yourself to dictate tempo and allowing yourself to dictate pace. They got the ball twice and couldn't do anything with it. And I just sort of had that feeling at that point, like, well, all right, this is what we're doing today.
It was funny because you say the whoever that was said workmanlike. The third quarter was so quick. Like, it felt like it took like – because each team scored like – I think the Ravens only scored 3 points.
Yeah, in the third quarter really – well, they had an 8-minute drive to start, and they only got 3 points out of it.
So at the end of the third quarter, I just sitting there, I'm like, man, that's the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, I got
to
go.
I have to leave. I'm like, it just felt so quick. It was like, wow.
No doubt. But these are the words. We're using workmanlike.
Workmanlike.
After the Ravens won 33-16 on the road against Deshaun Watson, we're calling it workmanlike. It's a hell of a place to be, man. It's a hell of a...
Fourth most points in the league so far this week.
Dallas and Atlanta both scored.
Dallas and Atlanta both scored, and then the Rams scored 37.
Oh, right, in Philadelphia. I mean, and we're calling it workmanlike. We're like, man, sure, they did about that was
you had to do to win.
It was good enough. Like that's our response to 33 points on the road in Houston is that was good enough. You did what you had to do today. Pick up your win, move forward, get ready for the Chiefs. It is a weird world we're living in. All right, drama, by the way. Speaking of the Chiefs, drama out in L.A. as they're trying to march down and get a win. We'll talk more about that as we get ready for Week 3 and the huge showdown between Baltimore and Kansas City. Ken Zales is with me. KZ, you got one of your masks, right? You're rocking your... Is that your... Are you the same one that I'm wearing? How about
that?
I have
my MVP mask on.
Yeah, which could be for any MVP quarterback that wears number 8 in purple. We could sell it in Baltimore because it also says Baltimore on it.
Yeah.
We got masks available, and they're very cool. They will help you cheer on your favorite teams, as well as, you know, show some common decency and respect while you're hanging out watching football this fall. We've got not only this one that KZ and I are wearing, the Net Gator, the Celebrate 8 MVP mask. We also have a purple and orange Maryland flag mask that's in the Net Gator style, and an over-the-ear sort of distressed version of the state flag mask as well. They're all available right now. PressBoxOnline.com/masks. PressBoxOnline.com/masks. Get yours right now. There's a deal on the orange and purple flag one. I think you can get four of them for $30, if I remember correctly. So go check it out right now. PressBoxOnline.com/masks. And get yours. We will. I just need like 1 minute here. We'll come back in. We'll start looking ahead to Monday Night Football next week. It's the Project Game Day postgame show.
Glory Days Grill's Oktoberfest menu is available now. Our fall seasonal menu is available for dine-in, dine-out, on the patio, or to-go. It's a new season, so enjoy new flavors. Try their new chicken schnitzel or the delicious Prussian pretzel rolls. Glory Days is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Visit GloryDaysGrill.com for a location near you. From the Glory Days Grill family, stay healthy and positive during this challenging time in our community.
Looking to get one up on the competition? Supercharge your computer skills. CCBC has classes at all levels from beginner to expert coder. Explore Microsoft Office, gaming, or even ethical hacker. Maybe hardware is your gig. Become A-plus certified. All tuition free if you qualify. Call 443-840-4700 or visit ccbcmd.edu/quickreg.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less, that's Wise.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of a million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
Project Game Day postgame show. Ravens beat the Texans 33-17 on the road today down in Houston. Scott also points out that the Texans were also coming off the mini bye. So, yeah, that's another – when we talk about – we're calling it a workmanlike performance – they were beating it. They beat a team with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback by 17 points on the road that had 3 extra days to prepare.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
It says a whole lot. And yes, as a couple people have pointed out, unfortunately, Tavon Young's season is over. John Harbaugh confirms in the postgame press conference left knee injury that will end his season. And sadly, this sort of continues to be the Tavon Young story. Just continued injury issues that are pile up and mount, and we'll see. I think you and I talked about it already, that Jimmy Smith playing more outside would make more sense moving forward. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do. Again, the good news is you've had depth. You have built up a very deep secondary. Even losing Earl Thomas, even losing Tavon Young, you had so much depth that it was survivable, but like Jimmy Smith is also susceptible to injury as the season goes on, and you know they still haven't, you know, knock on wood, they still haven't any like COVID issues they've had to deal with in the early going portion of the season. So it's good to be deep. That depth comes in handy right now,
it does.
But that depth also, like, you're not quite as deep today as you were a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, you were extraordinarily deep in the secondary. Now you're still deep enough to get by, but that is waning. And at some point, Anthony Everett's going to have to be on the field, and he's going to have to play better. There's just sort of no way of getting around that. So that's the bummer in the news in the postgame press conference. From Mr. Radcliffe. Hey, my old high school math teacher checks in. Dominating win against a dangerous team. I don't know how dangerous the Texans are going to prove to be this season. We were talking about the brutal schedule they had to start the year. They've got Pittsburgh next after everything else. I don't know. I really don't know how dangerous the Texans will prove to be. I never liked them in that division. I thought the Titans were the better team in that division. I still feel that way. I'm not going to change my mind about that. But we'll see. Yeah, the dangerous, sure, I'll give you dangerous. Paul, it's another game where I almost forgot that Sam Cook was on the team. I mean, they didn't use him much. They don't use him much.
They don't.
And but it is nice, though, by the way, like when you do go to him, like, for example, late in the first half, you know, they had the unfortunate sack, and they had to punt in that situation, and he came up with an unreturnable punt down to the 10-yard line. And sure, it did lead, as that will go through. And so, and we'll see.
Ooh.
Tip. Rarely,
rarely
are those
on the offense.
Although, oh my.
Oh my.
So Kansas City's going to be trying a 58-yard field goal.
58 now, after the 53 one was good.
I don't think there's a world in which they punt, because if you punt, you're basically just taking a tie at that point.
The ball he just hit.
Yeah, would have been
good.
I hear
60.
You, man. But
I mean, this is like Tucker.
It's not quite. Okay.
But they feel about Butker like we hear about Tucker.
I hear you. He's been a heck of a kicker. I don't disagree with that. As obviously we're monitoring that, what's going on in L.A., which has been the bummer is we didn't get to watch this game to have a better understanding of, like, how did this happen exactly, and how can the Ravens go about trying to replicate it moving forward? Oh, my.
Monster.
That kid is nuts, man.
Oh, and they call timeout.
Holy F.
Oh, my God. He's hit two in a row, and they call timeout.
Dude is just drilling bangers. Just bangers.
He just hit one from 58 that's good from 63, but they called timeout.
Now,
right
it was
before.
Just inside the upright, though, for what
it was.
It was just inside the upright. And the first one was just inside the upright, too. Oh, this is crazy, man.
But you know, you go.
We can't even. We're trying to talk
I know,
about
we're
the Ravens.
Trying.
Trying
I'm
to do
sorry.
The show. But we're doing the same thing.
Everybody's watching.
The worst day for us to do a post game show. The day that everybody is watching.
You know.
This.
You know what they did? They really early on, they kept Mahomes in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes struggled a little bit. I mean, this is a good defense, good front four especially.
And they have a deep secondary, too. This kid is unreal,
he's
man.
He's really good.
Unreal.
He's out there. He's out
three
there like it's just. Like
three straight 60-yard kicks to finally put away a win. So, Chiefs win. They'll be 2-0 coming to Baltimore next week. But they were not impressive, obviously, today. They were not. Like, what we're talking about workmanlike. What we're using those words. I don't know what words they're using.
They're
in
lucky
Kansas
to get out with the win.
No doubt.
They were down 17-6 in this game.
And if you, again, the Chargers, coming into the season, everybody believed the two best secondaries in football were the Ravens and Chargers.
Correct.
So if you want to feel like, okay, can we replicate the Chargers' secondary? I was watching this drive in overtime. Like, the Chargers' secondary was covering everybody.
They gave up yards today to Hill. They gave up yards today to Kelce. But everybody's going to do that.
Of course.
They didn't allow anything else to anybody else. They didn't allow Edwards-Helaire to get going on the run game. They limited him to two catches. I think Sammy Watkins finally caught one ball.
Okay.
Hardman caught one ball. Robinson may have caught two. But, you know, they kind of, okay, we know we can't totally stop Hill and Kelce, but we're going to try to limit everybody else. So this is his only choice.
I guess let's start talking about it now. We're 8 days away from the football game being played. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about it between now and then. But, Casey, let's start drawing for you the blueprint. This is a weird thing, right? 2 years ago, the Ravens played a really good game against the Chiefs. Should have won the football game. Mm-hmm. A year ago, they got their asses handed to them and goofy things in the second half. But it wasn't
right.
I'm not even giving them credit for that because it was throws off Lamar's back foot that had no business being completed on fourth. It was insane that game ended up looking like it was close because they got their asses kicked by the Chiefs a year ago. What is the roadmap for the Ravens getting the job done next Monday night?
You got to run the football. I mean, the Chiefs are not good against good run games. And I want to say San Diego, but L.A. today, the Chargers, they ran the football early. I think, when you look at it, Herbert used his legs. He scored a touchdown.
Eckler had a nice day.
Eckler had a nice day, some like 17 carries for near 100 yards. They used the running backs. And more importantly, they used the hammer, who's now the hammer for them, Kelly. He must have had 17, 18 carries, but for 70 yards, something like that. And I'm trying to go off the top of my head because I'm not looking at it right now. So they ran the ball, I'm going to guess, for over 170 yards against Mahomes, against KC, and they limited the amount of possessions that Mahomes had.
And what we know of the Ravens, we expect that to be what they would want to do.
He would want to do that. And Mahomes got off to a bad start. He started the game like 3 for 8.
Now, I can't expect that.
No,
I can't expect
that. You
can't,
but when you run the ball and you score like the Chargers did, then you start to speed up the Kansas City. It's like, okay, we got to go back and score. When you don't and you have another long drive of 7 minutes and you kick a field goal, all of a sudden, you know, you're feeling pretty good, and Mahomes touched the ball one time. He's down 2 scores.
Right.
And I think that's a similar – I don't think the Ravens have to get cute. I thought they got kind of cute today early. I thought that some of the play calls –
I can't help but wonder if they're just trying to show
maybe
something
they
else.
They showed a screen.
Yep, they did.
Good screen.
Yeah, they did.
I had to take 2 shots. I went to the cabinet right away because, you know, first of all for the play call, second for the execution. But they did show some things. You know, it seems like they show, some crossing routes early and things like that. But I still think at the end of the day, the way to beat the Chiefs
is
limited possessions, run the football, control the clock, and get ahead.
Which is what we've known of the Ravens to be. That's what they want to be. That doesn't guarantee they can go do it.
Here's my only fear is that, yes, you think they make us think that, and then they go into certain games and they get away from it, either from the start because they think they found something on tape, or they just get away from it too early or things like that. This week, especially with the Chargers, with a rookie quarterback, they controlled the line of scrimmage and controlled the clock, and they made the Chiefs have to come back in a furious mode and go to, a minute 50 left in overtime to win on the road against the Chargers, who, I'm sorry, I think they're okay.
No, I don't think – I mean, I think their defense
I think their defense is good.
Like, they still have – it's not like they don't have talent. They have talented players. There's no reason why we thought – there was no reason for us to think they should be dreadful other than the quarterback play.
But then again, none of us thought that there was any way that Kansas City wasn't going in there and winning by 14 points.
Of course. But it has a lot to do with the quarterback
thing. It does.
We look at their roster and we say their roster is pretty good. They just don't really have anything at quarterback that makes us think that they can do anything.
Right.
It's sort of, you know, maybe the exact Kansas City's got more in their roster. I don't know what the exact opposite would be. But the point is, their roster isn't the problem.
It's not the problem.
The problem is the quarterback position. Yeah. If they had
my tie rod thing from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you're probably a little off. Yeah, he's never playing again. No question. It's over for him. Jason says third time's – oh, I don't know if he's talking about the kick or the Ravens. So
yeah, I don't
he
know.
He said third time's the charm, and I guess it was the third kick.
Well,
but it could also be the Ravens, facing
the
Chiefs for a third time. Look, man, this is the week, right? Like, this is the get up, the get excited. This is the game, and it's a real shame that it's happening in front of no one. I can only imagine that it would be, one of those unreal atmosphere types of games next Monday night that we've gotten to know over the years, and so it sucks that that won't be the case. But it's still the week to be excited. Like, this is a game that truly matters in week 3 of an NFL season, and we don't typically get a lot of those in week 3 of an NFL season.
No.
This game really matters next week. I'm jacked for it. I'm absolutely jacked.
I'm jacked for the week 3 schedule overall, because you look at, you know, not only the Ravens game, but you have on Sunday night, you have Packers at Saints. That should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun, you know, fun, relaxing Sunday, good football, and then, you know, we'll all bite our nails off Monday.
It will be, oh boy. Oh, and Rita's back next Monday night.
Yay!
Oh, my. She knows it's a night game, so she'll be drinking.
Oh, she'll have some fun.
It will. It'll be a late night for us.
They better play well.
At Fans Fantasy on Twitter, of course, is how you follow him.
There's no fantasy players healthy anymore, so don't even worry about it.
No, we got a lot of. Am I adding Deion Lewis or Wayne Gallman this week?
I'm hoping there's someone else.
Devontae Freeman,
yeah,
sure, could be in the mix too.
I'm hoping.
I got to add somebody for this week.
Right now, it's Lewis. Gallman wasn't even active today.
I know, but like that's because they had Saquon Barkley. I don't think
Lewis ran in a touchdown today.
That's fine, but you think that they think of him as a featured back?
No, I don't think they do, but I know they don't think that way of Gallman either.
Well, they didn't, and they had Saquon Barkley, but somebody's got to be that guy.
Talk about a guy that may get that little injury prone.
Oh, Barkley?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. All right, Ken will be back with us Thursday morning for the PressBox Fantasy Football Show at 11:30 a.m. to help you set your lineups after you get either Deion Lewis or Wayne Gallman via your waiver wire this week. Luckily, I've got James Robinson in that league, so I can just play
him. Hasn't he been a nice thing?
It's going to work out all right for me. The Project Game Day postgame show has also been brought to you by Wise Markets. Appreciate them, the U.S. Army, for making it happen. Ravens 2-0, it's KC week. I'm stoked. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. on Glenn Clark Radio. Talk more about it. KZ, appreciate it, pal. Appreciate you guys for checking in. We will see you next Monday night. This has been Project Game Day.